This is Radio Influence.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to Crush Performance. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. Crushperformance.com is the website. Follow us. Look at our blogs, our podcasts. They're all there. On Twitter, it's at Jeff Crush. And on Facebook, go to Crush Performance as we hook you up with the world of sport performance. Today, a really big show as the 23rd Winter Olympics are well underway. Minus the Russian presence, though maybe a few more Russians than we first anticipated. And that's one of the biggest scandals as the game gets underway, something we'll talk about on this show for sure. It's an unfortunate circumstance that such a great sporting event is sort of clouded by this conversation, but it's also maybe something that really needs to be addressed in terms of the big picture. Do you think the Russians should be allowed to compete? I mean, they were officially banned as a team. Now, through the Court of Appeals for Sport, some of the athletes who have been banned in the past are now allowed to compete. Well, we're going to have that conversation today. We'll be joined coming up later in the show by former Canadian Olympian and gold medalist Jamie Soleil, who had a very, very different experience with the Russians. We'll talk about that. We're going to get her thoughts on the Russian doping scandal, and we're going to ask her about the preparation, qualifying, competing at the pressure cooker that is the Olympics, and what her takeaway was from finally getting that gold medal for her country. Just a fantastic story right there and some great athletes. So, Conman, I love the Olympics. Has the Russian doping scandal tainted your view of the Olympics? Where are you at with everything?
I'm definitely excited for the Olympics. I'm someone, you get home, we've got the two TVs set up in the living room there. I've got it going. I'm watching everything that I can. The doping scandal, it's a tough one for me. I respect what the committee decided to do and how it was handled. There's a little bit of me that feels bad for some of the athletes who might not have been doping and, you know, unfortunately kind of get caught up in it. But they had to make a statement, and I think they did so. But it's not going to ruin the Olympic spirit for me. I love this time of the year. It doesn't come around very often, but absolutely looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, man. And good for you. I'm with you there. Hey, we're just coming off a very, very important three-part series. It was our Crush Performance Investigative Report, Sport Under Fire. We looked at all the different factors that are influencing sport right now in terms of corruption, gambling, money laundering, certainly the doping, human trafficking. Again, you don't usually correlate human rights issues with sport, but man, oh man, what we heard from Minky Warden of the Human Rights Global Act was alarming. And so we're really proud of that three-part series. You can get the podcast on our website. But on our second show, we dived deep into the Russian doping scandal. Richard Pound, who led the first investigation into the Russian doping probe, joined us, and he really shone a light on what happened, the timeline of this whole thing, and how serious it really is. And one of the key witnesses right now for this entire McLaren report and this entire case against the Russian sporting organization as a whole is now in protective custody. Witness protection in the United States. That's how serious this stuff is. So a real good conversation there. If you're trying to understand what this Russian thing is all about, oh, we really covered it well. The lab director, Rodichenkov, he was there, and he basically risked his life, left his family to come over here and shine light on what was really going on after a couple of whistleblowers really opened the eyes of WADA and the International Olympic Committee. So this is one of the, I guess, sort of side stories when it comes to the Olympics. We don't want it to detract from what's going on in Pyeongchang. But I'm going to stay positive. Long live sport, man. Clean sport for sure. So for our question of the day, in terms of sport integrity and fair play, are you encouraged by what's happened with the Russian ban? Or has the realization of what's really going on behind the scenes sort of turned you off of sport? Let us know. Get to us via Twitter at Jeff Crush or via text message 10-12-60. Standard text rates do apply. Hey, we're going to pick somebody from our text and Twitter pool to walk away with two Marmot ski passes. The snow is dynamite right now. So let us know. Hey, are you glad for what's happened in terms of the Russian ban? Has it opened the eyes? Do you think this is a good turning point for sports, or has it turned you off of sport? Let us know. Again, 10-12-60, or let us know via Twitter at Jeff Crush. So let's talk about these Olympics, because that's what this whole show's all about. Pyeongchang 2018 by the numbers. Of course, it's going to run from February 9th to the 25th. And if you're having trouble understanding what the schedule is, you're not alone. It's very difficult for us. We get it kind of in the afternoon. They're 19 hours ahead of us, I believe. So the schedule is kind of messed up. I'm not sure what it is.
I think I've simplified it.
Oh,
you just have to go 4 hours backwards. So right now it's 12:27 p.m.
See, I was trying to explain this to my wife. She's going, no, but they're a day ahead. And I said, yeah, but all you need to do is just look back 4 hours.
Yeah.
So
I'm it's Sunday,
you.
But it's noon on Sunday.
Though. Right. So. Exact. See, just so simple. See, we're such simple animals.
Forget the day. Just worry about the time.
Like most of our ladies out there, they just try to make things just a little more difficult than they need to be. Is that a dangerous statement right there?
Dang, very. Yeah.
Yeah. You're okay, on a, sorry about that. Let's get away from that. Honey, you're so right. You're so right. But anyway, the schedule is pretty difficult. Regardless of that, it's all online, everybody. You can get the great TV coverage for sure. TSN has it here in Canada. CTV is covering it very, very well. But you can also get it on those great websites. There's incredible coverage. There are a record 92 countries competing at these Olympics and 9 new countries. We have Ecuador, Kosovo, Malaysia, Nigeria, Singapore, and Eritrea. Eritrea is how it's pronounced. Really exciting, I think, you know, really exciting growth for the Olympic sport. I like to see these new countries coming in with new athletes. There's 2,952 athletes competing for another record, which is the number of medals that are going to be handed out during this Games. 102 medals will be awarded over 15 different sports in 13 different venues. Now, Connor, one of the things that sort of always just sort of followed the Olympics is the cost of putting on these games. And after we saw what happened in Brazil and Rio, Sochi, for example, we're all worried about what would happen in Korea to just take on this monster that is turning out to be the Olympics. But they've done a really, really good job. The cost of the Olympics here in Korea is estimated to be around $13 billion. And that's for all the infrastructure, start to finish, right to the starting of the games, which is really cheap in comparison to what we saw at Sochi. The reports now that the dust is maybe even still settling for Sochi was $55 billion. Like an incredible number that would bankrupt more than half the countries on the planet. So that's one of the conversations that we've had in the past about the Olympics. Is this thing just getting to be too monstrous? Do we need to start, you know, reusing, recycling some of the facilities? It might make some sense, Connor.
Absolutely. And I just kind of looked up right now abandoned Olympic venues, and it's pretty crazy that they don't get much use, you know, in Canada. And I think, you know, the United States, I think they've done a good job, and a lot of it is already having those venues in Los Angeles. I mean, they have, when they had the Olympics, they still use those venues. I think they still use the venues down in Calgary. A lot of the things we're fortunate that we're able to, but you look at some of these countries that invest so much money into hosting the Olympic Games, they build these world-class venues, and 2 years later they're not even being used. The grass is growing out through the concrete in Sochi. It's just, it is too bad. It's getting really out of control. And, you know, it's a lot of it is about money, putting all that money in. But you just got to think, we have these venues in certain locations. Why not just reuse them?
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I wonder if it's not time to really just sort of rethink the Olympics as a whole. It's almost just too big. And you're right. Not just the venues that don't get used, but the cost of running them after the games. You know, I was lucky enough to be in Africa here last year and looking at the World Cup facilities. They can't afford to turn the lights on, Connor. The big stadium in Cape Town has only been used, I think, 3 or 4 times since the World Cup was there. And there were major rock concerts. I think, you know, Katy Perry was there and Lady Gaga. That's the only time the lights have been turned on in these facilities since the World Cup. We see very, very similar things happening with the Olympic facilities, especially when we look at games like baseball, right? We go back to the games in Greece, for example. That entire beautiful stadium was basically taken apart piece by piece. Some of it was used for scrap metal, but it doesn't even exist anymore. It basically rotted. So that's a good point. I think it might be time to reconsider how we run the games. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, but I think as long as big business and money is being thrown into it, I don't think it will change. Another thing that, you know, just unfortunately, just kind of looking it up here, 11 construction workers were killed during the building of the venues in Brazil. You got these guys and they're doing it in such a rush. I think sometimes safety gets skipped. And unfortunately, 11 lives were lost. That's another thing. You know, if you were going to have it at venues where maybe this, you know, they're all ready to go, these things don't happen. So that's another unfortunate thing that has come out of these Olympic Games, where these countries pay so much money and they have to have it ready by that time. And these kind of things happen.
Well, hey, listen, and we talked about that with Minky Warden from the Human Rights Act. They talked about forced labor, even slave labor going into the Russian World Cup. Just alarming statistics about labor deaths and forced labor and how much these workers are suffering in terms of the environment they're in, but also being underpaid. There are workers that built the facilities in Russia. They're only getting paid $1.80 per hour. There was $83 million in unpaid wages after the Olympics, and they wouldn't have got paid if the Human Rights Act didn't get involved and force Russia to pay. So lots of crazy stuff going on behind the scenes, but that, you're right, is something that I think we really need to be addressed. And I think the first step there is just being aware of it.
Do you think there would ever reach a point where the Olympic Committee would settle on one location, or maybe two or three, and just rotate?
This is what I'm saying, Connor. And maybe not even that. And I agree. I think that's the way to go. Having these existing facilities and rotate them, but maybe splitting the Olympics up between two or three different countries. Does it all need to happen in one place? And, you know, it might be nice to, you know, build a facility here or there as a legacy and for infrastructure, for development of youth and just, you know, participation in sport. That's really, really important for all these countries. But maybe we split it up over the course of 2 years or different venues. I'm with you there. That's a very interesting conversation that I think we need to have.
The different venues would be interesting because it's come up with the World Juniors. Yeah. And having, I think this year it's in Vancouver and Victoria. When Edmonton hosted, it was split with Calgary. And it's tough for people traveling because you kind of have to pick your poison. Which one do you want to go to? Not too many people are going to just stay in Red Deer and drive an hour and a half each way. So I think it makes it a little bit less fan friendly if you're to do it in multiple venues or even multiple countries. Crossing the border could be difficult if you want to go see multiple events. I don't know if personally for me, that one I think might complicate things, but it's something to look into.
Well, what if you talked about something like, okay, hey, look, we have in North America, there's probably four major sites that you could host the Winter Olympics right now with a little peppering up. You know, Lake Placid probably needs a little splash, but you could go Vancouver. You could easily go Calgary. You know, you could probably find a venue for maybe a couple of the other events. Maybe just spread it out, I'm telling you, so we don't have to invest billions of taxpayer dollars to build facilities. Now, in North America, we're pretty lucky because these facilities get really used. But in other parts of the world, I'm just wondering if it isn't just a little too much at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you could have the, like, for just say all the athletes training in one area, and then you have all that, you know, all the proper facilities set up in that area. Calgary is a great one because you have the mountains with, you know, Banff right there as well. And then just the upkeep there with those, I think. And then you just rotate around the countries and you have all these major facilities set up in whatever might be the best location and the most convenient. But yeah, it's a interesting conversation.
It sure is. Hey, a couple more numbers I want to get to before we cut out to a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Jamie Slay. We'll be looking at some of your texts. The text question today is, are you encouraged by what's happening with the Russian ban? Or is the realization of what's going on behind in the shadows of sport turned you off? Let us know. Text 101260 or drop us a tweet at Jeff Crush. A couple more numbers I want to get to. The youngest athlete competing in this Winter Olympics will be China's 15-year-old Wu Meng, who is a half-pipe skier. And the oldest is Canadian curler, 51-year-old Cheryl Bernard. A nice spread there, 15 to 51. I absolutely love it, and that's one of the joys of the Olympics. Hey, we got to cut up for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to ask Jamie Slay, former Canadian Olympian and gold medalist, about her experiences with the Russian Federation. She had a very, very different, unfortunate experience. But we're also going to ask her about the doping scandal. But most importantly, get some insight as to what it takes to prepare, qualify, and compete on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics, right after this on Crush Performance. Crush Performance. We're your weekly source for performance information. Join me, Jeff Kreshel, and the Con Man as we dig deep into the science and research of talent development and skill acquisition to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. And go to our website, crushperformance.com, to get details on my brand new book, The Performance Plan, strategies for top performance in sport, business, coaching, and life. Our goal is to help you get better, and it starts with the performance plan. Get control, get focused, and get results. We're Crush Performance. Join us weekly right here on Radio Influence.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Jeff Kreshel here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, questions, comments, smart remarks, get to us, crushperformance.com. We love all your input. And hey, if you have a topic you'd like us to look into, let us know. Drop us an email. We may dedicate a segment of the show, maybe an entire episode to your idea. We actually have a couple coming up from our listeners that I'm pretty proud to cover. We got one on concussions. We're actually going to have somebody who's been dealing with some head injuries and how it's impacted him and his family. A powerful conversation and some of the great work that's been done to help him get his life back on track. Really good stuff. So let us know. We love all the emails and all the contact for sure. Today, listen, we are looking at the 23rd Winter Olympics. I love the games. Absolutely love them. And the question of the day, of course, the conversation has sort of revolved around the Russian doping scandal still, unfortunately, after all the work that's been done. It's right there in the headlines. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Well, I want to hear from you. Let us know. Are you encouraged by what's happened with the Russian ban? Or has the realization turned you off of sport? And here's a couple of texts I want to get to right now. Hey, guys, pertaining to the doping scandal, if you think Russia is the only country, you'd be fooling yourself. Ben Johnson got his gold stripped for an American who also doped. It's all politics. That's a powerful tweet, right, or text right there, because so right. It's, you know, if you hear what Putin says the other day, he sits there and smugly says, everybody's doing it. Well, I think the point is we've got to get better at preventing it. Can we do it? I don't know. Can we get ahead of it? It's a tough one. Another text that came in from Jeremy. It'll only be solved when the U.S. does something about their team. Trust is a huge issue. It does take away from the games, but I still love the great show. Yeah, thanks for that, Jeremy. Keep those tweets coming, everybody. It's a powerful conversation, and maybe for no one more than the athletes who compete. And joining us right now, I'm really proud to have back on the show our good friend, former Olympian and gold medalist, Jamie Soleil. Jamie, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, listen, I'm pretty excited to have you on. I've been thinking about you a lot, especially when the Olympics come around, because boy, oh boy, do I remember you preparing, and I remember watching you vividly competing at the Salt Lake Games. So let's start with this. You know, the Russian doping scandal has been happening for a couple of years now. Leading into Rio, they were banned. Just from an athlete standpoint, Jamie, can you maybe express your thoughts as to what it means for an athlete when you hear something like this?
Well, you know, it's interesting to hear those last two tweets, because those are very valid points. You know, I think we're seeing a lot of it. Personally, I'm only a winter athlete, for example. And I think we see a lot more of this in the summer games. You've been around track and field, and you've seen a lot of that as well. But in the winter sports, being a figure skater, personally, I've never known a figure skater except, and I will say this without meaning to throw anyone under the bus, but he admitted it to us, that he was given a pill because he wasn't skating very well, a Russian skater. I won't even say who it is.
Right.
But he told us that he wasn't skating very well, and his coach gave him a pill. And our Russian rivals were not allowed to compete at our first world championships together as a team, because she had tested positive for, obviously, a drug that you're not allowed to take at the European championships right before this world championship. So they weren't allowed to compete against everybody at that world. So I've seen it twice in figure skating in my time. That's my time. I'm sure it's happened before, but I will say, as a Canadian athlete, we are drug tested randomly and often, not like every week or anything, but it's random, and it's not like once a lifetime. And so we never know, and I've personally never known a Canadian figure skater to ever take. They're even afraid to take things like protein powder, Advils. Like, I know it's crazy, but we were told to just stay away from everything. And if you're sick, you go right to a doctor who knows exactly what you're allowed to take. So I agree, though. We've heard Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson was training in the U.S., was he not?
Yeah, the U.S. and Jamaica.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he got away with it over there because they know how to mask it. We just, I have to say, I'm sure there are Canadians that have done it. I don't know any. And especially in figure skating, it's only been the Russian skaters that have either been banned or told us that they've had stuff that they've been given. So, and I will say, there are going to be Russian athletes out there that aren't involved in this. You know that that's a possibility too, right? And this is only hurting those athletes.
Amen.
But I will say, and Craig and I talked about this, that it's part of their federation. Like you just said, was it Putin that said it?
Yeah.
Like, they're admitting that it's part of their culture. It's part of the Russian Federation. And is the U.S. the same? I don't know. But those tweets were actually really valid points.
Yeah, I agree. We're talking with Jamie Soleil, former Canadian Olympian figure skater and gold medalist. Jamie, yeah, it's a powerful conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if we look at the work that WADA is doing and what they're all about, and they've been mandated to protect the integrity of sport and fair play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after Rio, they were in a lot of trouble, but the sporting organizations globally got together and really, really gave them some claws to bite with. And then all of a sudden, so they go to the IOC with all their data and all their investigations. IOC bans Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Court of Arbitration for Sport clears a bunch of Russian athletes who had been banned.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of undermines all the great work that's been done. And that's what's frustrating for me.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really interested to hear what that means for you. Because, I was around you when you guys were preparing. I've seen the blood, sweat, and tears. And it's just not right on so many levels.
Well, and that's exactly it for those that are doing it in fair play. And what we've realized in competing is that winning is so important for these certain countries, and they'll do anything to do that. Whereas we're not like that. We don't grow up that way. We're it's fair play. We're just happy to be there. We just have a very different culture. But I will say that it's very disheartening to hear that that stuff has been looked over. And as an athlete, if I'm competing, I don't know if I have any confidence that it will change. I think, kind of like bullying, I feel like as much as we want to talk about it and educate people on it, it's never going to go away.
Yeah.
You know, it's always going to be there. I've heard things like the doctors are ahead of the testing. Like, doctors are always ahead, whether they're Russian or they're American or whoever. They're ahead of, like, they can give the athletes the newest thing that is not going to test positive. So I go, well, who's going to watch that? Who's going to be on that kind of stuff, right?
Well, hey, Jamie, and Jamie, you bring up a really, really good point. And Mr. Richard Pound actually said those exact words in our show with him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He said sport is on a dangerous, dangerous edge right now where mm-hmm. people are, honest to goodness, just going to stop caring. Listen, here's the breakdown that he gave us. Look, athletes are cheating. People start getting disinterested in even watching sport. The sponsors pull away. There's no more sport.
Yeah.
And that's really where we're at right now. So there's a lot of reasons to protect sport and to fight the good fight, don't you think?
Well, what about your integrity?
Amen.
Knowing that you've done it, like, clean. And that's what I think as a Canadian, too, when we were standing there on our podium or even after we finished, we know that we had done everything we could. We got comfortable being uncomfortable without taking any substances, anything. Like I said, no protein powder even. We were just like, we're not trying anything. Like, we're not even going to pull that. And not on purpose even. Just sometimes athletes take things by accident. And I just wanted to know that I did the best I could as with the human body that I have. And you were a part of my journey, Jeff. You trained me and you helped make me that lean, mean fighting machine. And it's sad to know that athletes feel like they have to cheat to get there because I think many are capable without it.
Yeah. Well said.
But it's changing limits and times and stuff. It's almost like it's silly.
Yeah.
Like when you look at that, you go, okay, well, now it's so far gone.
Yeah.
That if people weren't allowed to do drugs, then we'd lose, like, people's times would be 20 seconds slower on things. And, like, you go, okay, enough already.
Yeah.
But can we change this?
Yeah, I think there is a point, Jamie, where we can. And I just think, you know, when the technology really comes up, I mean, the cost, I really am intrigued and encouraged by the blood passport system. So this is going to be great. But you mentioned something there, Jamie, that I think is really, really important. I think we can have a really good idea why athletes go to the dark side. Fame, fortune, money, you know, all these opportunities for sure.
Pressure.
And
pressure from the country's federation.
Yep.
Jeff, you know our scandal was deeper than just a judge wanting the Russians to win. It went as far as the mafia being involved. And we sat back and watched our whole thing unfold for the next year and a half, and even still it's talked about. And we had our jaws dropped and opened the whole time going, what?
Right.
Like, we just don't live like this. We don't even know that this stuff goes on. And it was really shocking to us, the lengths that people, federations, organizations, whatever you want to call them, will go to be on top.
Yeah.
And it's not even about the athlete anymore.
You're right, Jamie. They're just that means to an end, it seems, right
yes.
now. Yeah, we're talking with former Canadian Olympian figure skater and gold medalist Jamie Slay. Well, hey, you've segued right into our next conversation here. You had a very, very different experience outside of doping with the Russian Federation. And it's really interesting to hear you say that it was tied all the way to the mafia because you and David got caught in a scenario where there were crazy things going on mm-hmm. with judging influence, Jamie. And mm-hmm. Gosh, it really took away from your experience. You guys got burned at the stake, as far as I'm concerned. And it's one of the biggest travesties in sport, I think, Jamie, outside of the doping side for sure. And I don't know if you could put into words maybe how you felt at the time, but maybe afterwards now, have the wounds healed?
Oh, you know what, Jeff? This is the way we see it, and we appreciated all the support that we got. I don't know if anybody knows this, and I'm going to take the opportunity right now to tell everyone listening right now that when we were awarded a silver medal, there was a group from Calgary that put together, I don't know how they did it, obviously through the media, collected gold across the country. So when David and I got home from the games, we were presented these gold, solid gold medals by the citizens of our country.
Oh, wow.
And I know you've seen it.
Yeah.
But we never talked about it enough. And I cried today showing my family and their friends because they said, bring your gold medal. I said, well, I have two, actually. I have one that the ISU, which is the International Skating Union, gave us because they had to. Because there was so much pressure from the IOC to give us a gold medal and shut everybody up. But the citizens of Canada, our country, made us two gold medals. So to me, that is so incredible. And I will say, we saw this whole experience. The whole time it wasn't fun to go through, but I will say it gave us more longevity in our pro career. And we definitely took advantage of the fact that we became household names. Very quickly, especially in the U.S. So, you know, we signed big contracts, and from skating contracts to Crest White Strips, and like we signed all these great contracts because of it. So it ended up not really totally tarnishing our experience, but I will say, and you know how I feel about the moment, I worked my butt off for that, and even visualizing that moment of standing on the podium and having everyone in the arena that was Canadian even or back home sitting in their living room sing O Canada with us and have tears coming down my face and bite the metal like everybody does, you know? I visualize that whole thing. So if there's anything I feel kind of, not even anymore, but just that I felt bad about then was that I didn't have that moment. And yeah, they're like, oh yeah, but you got to go back and get your gold medal. It wasn't my moment. It was, okay, you guys have to do this for television, go back on the podium with the Russians and pretend you're all happy. So, and I'm not ungrateful, but that wasn't the same, right? So, but it was an interesting experience. Hey, we got to be on Jay Leno twice. We're on Larry King. Rosie O'Donnell was talking about us every day. We're, you know, just two small town Canadian kids that became household American names.
And,
so.
And Jamie, hey, listen, on the other side of that, what happened with you guys really influenced sport, and there are now safety catches in place because of what happened to you guys that have really set the tone for future athletes now forever, Jamie. So maybe that's a silver lining.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you can't put a value on those Canadian gold medals you got from the people of Canada. How about that?
Like, best thing ever.
It's, wow.
Like, when I talk about the Canadian gold, I talk about the medal from Canada.
Yeah.
It just means so much more to us. It's priceless. It's there's writing on the back talks about Canadian pride. And we're so not loudly patriotic. Canadians are always just happy to be there, and we cheer from our living rooms, and we're proud and everything, but we're not loud about it. And so it was such an incredible experience to have that. I will say, though, with the change of the sport, unfortunately, I get a lot of comments regularly that people have lost interest in it because they don't understand the system. Mm. I understand that. I get that. But I will tell people that what is better about the sport now for the athletes is that everything's quantified now. So you can't just say, oh, I like the Russian team, or I like the French team, or I like the American team, or the Canadian team. Everything the athletes do, from their spins to their jumps, their lifts, their twists, everything is quantified. So there's a caller that is neutral and has to call everything as it is. And then it's up to the judges, which is still, you know, that other side of it. It's better than it used to be, but they can now determine whether it's a plus or minus. So, but at least someone's sitting there going, you know what, that quad toe is worth 12 points or whatever right. It's worth. Whereas before, sometimes somebody would go out there and pull off a beautiful quad and he'd still be sixth place where he should be maybe second.
I get you.
So no, it's better.
It is much
There's
better.
There's no perfect system,
no,
Jeff.
No, but it's definitely better, Jamie Slay. Hey, listen, thanks so much for coming on today. Such a great conversation.
Anytime.
I was looking so forward to this, Jamie, so I want to thank you for your insights, and thanks for sharing some of the stuff you shared today. Really powerful stuff. As we move forward in sport, man, we all love it. So thanks so much, Jamie.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, everybody, we got to cut out really quick here. Thanks for listening today. Again, crushperformance.com for the podcast. That's it for this week. Talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
This is a Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Going in, what did we tell you? The way you take away the Eagles' offense in these RPOs is defend all the crossers. Take away the middle of the field. Force them to throw outside the numbers. Philly came out and said, we're going to attack outside the numbers. And that doesn't work unless Foles starts making stick throws and throwing dimes. The guy was phenomenal. Made big play after big play. Stayed on the field. New England couldn't get off the field. Some early points. The feeling that we need to be aggressive because field goals are not going to win this game. Really good game plan in the attack. But listen, a game plan is one thing. Okay, I've been a part of what I thought are really good game plans. And when you don't execute, nobody thinks it's a good game plan. I mean, it's a good game plan, but you got to execute.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.